But those options are out there, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Well, I think there's always options for a new car. There's always options for new operating equipment. I mean,
but we're not talking about a new car operating. We're talking about spending $154,000 on something that might be obsolete next year or 2 years, depending upon what laws are passed. The two bills that you've mentioned, they haven't even been passed yet, correct?
No, they have not. They've just been voted out of committee to pass.
Okay. I'm not against it. I'm not for it. I'm trying to look at all the options and discuss these guys. There's more to it than, hey, let's just go buy new equipment.
Well, as soon as we bought this equipment, a few years later, they came out with new equipment again. And it's going to happen every time. There's always going to be new equipment.
But there might be something coming that's not equipment-based as much as something completely different, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Okay.
So, Wesley, you got done setting that up. What were you wanting to show us on that?
Physically, it's set up. We do not have a election to load into the actual machine itself. And that's another 5-10 minutes of setting up, just have that done.
But once it's set up, it's good all day?
It's good all day.
Well, if the election...
If they don't have a problem.
Look, these are so difficult to use that our judges don't like them. They never encourage people to use them. They rarely get used, but we have to have them. But since I don't want to be written up by the Department of Justice, I have a team that goes out to every polling place and checks to make sure that not only is it set up, but it's functioning. So we check the functionality of it. And just for somebody to vote it, an election judge has to encode a card. So you have to have an encoder, and you have to have a card. The card goes into the encoder and gets the election loaded on it. So then the supervisor has to walk over here, escort the voter, insert it into the side of the machine, then set up the keypad and the headphones for a sight-impaired voter. For us, it would take us a long time to use this piece of equipment because we're slow at reading and slow at listening. Somebody who is sight impaired, they are much faster at listening to things than we are and punch those keys in. Then it prints out a report on that printer module that is there. The reason this has come to light was because of the last state election where we had a statewide recount of votes. And because this equipment was used, we had to go in and manually count every vote on the tape. Well, for us, I think we only had two or three. But for some of our bigger counties, like St. Louis, it became a nightmare. Because once somebody starts voting on that, it starts printing. And then if you cancel the ballot because you decide, oh, I didn't vote for that person, then you cancel the ballot and you go back, and then you re-vote that one thing, and then you hit it again and it prints. And then you hit your cast ballot. Well, the problem that whenever they tried to go back in and recount it, do a manual recount, you get through it, you count the vote, and then you say, oh, they canceled it. So then somebody's already tallied that on a sheet, and then they had to undo it. So that's what brought this to light, that this was such a problem.
So we have 3 or 4 people that vote with those machines throughout the county? I understand we have to have them. I'm not... How many of those machines do we have?
You have to have one per polling place, plus we have, I think, 3 backups. We have 5 backups. Okay, we have 5 backups of those.
We have 27 of those machines? You said we had 22 polling places?
Yeah, 21 plus the 22 plus 5. Yes, 27. 27 of those and 27 of these.
And we have 3 voters on 27 machines. Is there not a way to accommodate them in another way?
Not if we're going to meet the Help America Vote Act. We're required to have this piece of equipment in every polling place. Or a handicap piece of equipment, Brandon. One of the new vendors has a small machine. It's about this big. And essentially all it is a printer. You have a small iPad on the top of it. You cast your votes on that, it prints a ballot. Then you have to take that ballot and go over and insert it into a machine similar to this.
So the actual...
The difference between this machine and the new machine is the new machine scans the entire ballot. It doesn't just count the ovals. It takes a picture of the entire ballot. When it prints out its reports, if there's a write-in and they have filled in the oval, which they have to do for it to count as a vote, it will print me out a list of all the write-in candidates. It'll just take a picture of it and then create a report with those pictures for the write-ins.
So when they write in like Barney Fife or Fred
Flintstone, or Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse is number one. And then Minnie Mouse, I think, is probably number two, and Goofy.
I try to vote for Barney Fife for sheriff, but kidding, Jimmy.
So those are just some of the issues that we're having with it and some of the concerns I have. Anytime it has to be repaired, it's being repaired with used equipment from other counties that our vendor has bought their equipment back from them whenever they bought new equipment. And so that's how we're getting parts, is we're getting used parts from other counties. So eventually there won't be any used parts, and that's a concern for me. So I wanted to bring it to your attention.
On your, is it the 400 account that has monies in there specifically for equipment and technology and different things?
It's for equipment or anything to enhance the election. I've used it to, give me a second. I run my grants through that account. I also use it to hire additional manpower when I need it. And I have purchased things like the electronic iPads or pull pads out of that equipment. So, yes. But we'll never have enough money to purchase this equipment, replace this equipment. We just don't generate enough money.
How does money get put in those funds?
I'm sorry?
How does money get put in those funds?
Into the 400 accounts? We get money from the April election. Well, all of the elections, we get about 5% of the overall cost. We get 5% that goes in there. That's per statute. And then as Secretary of State's office pays us a certain amount to do data entry into MCVR. And so we get that money. And then I say the third would be running the grants through there, which that's a replacement. We spend it and it gets replaced. It's not really earning money, it's passed through.
Is there any grants or anything available through the federal government or state government for new equipment?
All of the money that came through the original EAC is almost all gone. We were told we're not likely to get much in the future.
What about state?
That's probably about the only grants we're going to get is through the state.
I mean, but is there grants out there for new equipment?
Not enough to cover something like this. They prorate it by county, by the size of your county, and I think we got 14,000, and so it's not a lot.
Well, 14 plus the 33 roughly that's in there now is a good chunk towards it.
But it's usually it has specific requirements on it. Everyone is, like, I can use it to pay for training. I can buy books, paper, pay for printing materials to do training for election judges, or I can use it to hire extra manpower to do a canvas. So they all have requirements. It all depends on which grant comes in. We had one grant 1 year to do repairs on this equipment, or to pay maintenance on the equipment. We've used it for that too. They never give us the full amount either.
I thought you were setting up for an infomercial there, Wesley. I didn't know what we were.
So, Donna, with those aren't used very much then.
No, and you would think that they would last longer, but they don't. Whenever we purchase them, because I had to come up with a way to charge for other county or for other entities to use our equipment, like an April election, I have to bill them. I have to rent our equipment to them. And so what I had to do is figure out, ask them what the lifespan of the equipment was, and then divide it by the expected number of elections per year to come up with an amount to charge for rent. And that's why I know how much or how long they were expected to last. We haven't had too many problems with this. We had one problem in Taneyville one time, and the equipment completely failed. Both the memory card and the machine failed, and we had to take the tape and use the tape to come up with the results for that election. So we have had problems with it. Most of our problems with
off of that machine there. I mean, off of those types of machines?
That type of machine, yes.
So you had to count three.
Well, it's been used more than three times.
Well, you said you had to count the tape. How many votes were on that tape?
Well, that one was in Taneyville, and there were quite a few on that one. I would guess there was about 15.
You had to count
when
15.
When we first had these machines
I'm just saying, you make it sound like we had to count like thousands of votes. You had to count 15 votes.
Just Taneyville.
I understand.
Didn't say Taneyville. They've only got 200 and some voters.
I understand that, but you said that you had to count the report and the tapes.
Mm-hmm. That's how we got the results, because both the memory card failed.
Right.
Yes. Well, I'm not trying to mislead you
at all,
Brandon.
You had to count to 15.
Yeah.
I can do that with only taking one shoe off.
Sarcasm. Great. Thanks.
Well,
this is a real issue, Brandon.
I'm not saying it's not, but don't try to act like it's... I had to count 1,000 votes by hand. You had to count 15.
Thank God we're not St. Louis County, who did have to do that.
I understand that. We're not St. Louis County. We're Taney County. And that's what I'm concerned about, is Taney County.
Certainly.
Not St. Louis. No other county. Taney County. Danny?
When you did your demonstration on dropping the computer and the chips being out, what does that do? I got lost there after you slammed that down. I just didn't understand. You said it reset it.
I don't need to know all that.
I just wondered why we had that demonstration.
Because these pieces of equipment get moved so many times. We have, 70-year-old judges trying to lift these in and out of the back of their cars, and they hit the bumper or they set it down on the ground too hard. So what happens sometimes is there are chips inside of here that get loose. And our vendor taught us, because we started having a lot of problem with them as they aged, we had more and more problems with them when we didn't understand what was happening. And so they told us that was one of the problems with this equipment, was as it gets older, those chips get looser inside. And the more times they get bumped, the more times they get loose. And to reseat them, so it might just barely be raised up. To reseat them, you just drop it down, and sometimes it will reseat it. Sometimes it won't. You can't use the equipment at all.
Can you not unscrew it and push it down?
I can't. No. I wouldn't even try to open the inside of this machine. And I wouldn't know which chip to push down.
All of them.
Yeah.
Put a little pressure on all of them.
Can you see me doing that at a polling crazy in front of voters?
I don't see you dropping a $7,000 piece of equipment either.
Yeah. I always do it when nobody's looking. Trust me.
Just did it three times in front of us and everybody in here.
Maybe I should have taken you in my office and shown you. That would have probably been better.
Probably not.
Anyway, I don't want the voters of Taney County to be concerned that they're not going to have accurate elections. We always have paper ballots, so if one of these machines does stop functioning, we have the paper ballots to back up. We can bring them into the office, and I've had to do that before when a machine has failed on election day and we didn't have time to go out and replace the machine because it happened too close to the end of the day. We just tell our election judges, pack them up, bring them in, and then we set up a new machine. We pull the same memory card out. We plug it into another machine. We run all the ballots through, and we come up with, and just so you know, for security reasons, the election judges know how many signatures, how many people have come through. So we know if 500 voters have signed the book, I should have 500 ballots. When I run it through the machine, I should have 500 cards read. That's part of our security. So I don't want people to start thinking that there's a security issue with the election. There isn't. It's just that we're going to have more and more failures as this continues to age. And that is my concern. And I didn't think that you were aware of how serious the problem was, or that we had 13 failures just in the last 4 years. And two machines completely had to be replaced. They could not be repaired.
On the last election, did I not read something in the paper? You guys might know better than me, Chris and Jan. Didn't you say something about, was there an article saying everything went off without a problem, everything was great and no issues at all? Or did we have some problems this last election?
Yes, the machine went down at Taneyville and had to be replaced on election day. And our GEMS program, where we load the equipment up, went down.
So I read an article wrong?
I think I'm done.
Was there an article not written that said there was no problems?
I don't think you're listening anymore, Brandon. If you had any reasonable questions, I don't think you're listening anymore.
Donna, that was a reasonable question. If the media is putting out there was no problems with the election at all, and now we're saying there's problems with the election. Okay. That's all I needed to know.
I took the machine out to the polling place. I replaced it.
So you did your job.
I had the two supervisors watch me do it.
Okay. I'm not questioning that, Donna. I'm asking a simple question. Was there any?
Your question is simple. I think you're being rude now. You are not listening.
How am I being? You're the one getting up and leaving. How am I being the one that's rude?
Because you are not taking it serious and you are making fun.
How am I making fun? I think it's very serious.
I think everyone in this room knows. Any other serious questions that I can answer for you?
Is this the same type of equipment that's been on 60 mm-hmm. Minutes in 2020 with the operating of this equipment being a malfunctional piece of equipment at times?
I don't know, Danny.
It's a brand name, and I had it checked. It came out in, I think, 2009 or 2010 that they were having a lot of problems with this particular type of equipment. And anyway, my question is I would like to see, if the equipment is bad, I'd like to see new equipment. But the fact is that if we have new equipment, are we going to have the same problem? We're going to have the same demonstrations in 2 to 3 years. I have that question.
I got this equipment back in either late 2003 or early 2004, and so I don't believe I've demonstrated it to you in the last 11 years, I think. And so we haven't started having these many problems until the last few years. And it is simply because it is a computer, and it is aging. The touchscreen machine in the state of California, was bought and used for the entire state of California, and then they dumped it. We have never used it on the Internet. We've never connected it on. We did one time for one election, and then the Missouri Secretary of State pulled it. And so you cannot use it on the Internet because there were concerns that it could be hacked. We never put the touchscreen equipment on the Internet now.
And that was the problem that was on?
I don't know if that's the only problem, but that was the problem. Robin Carnahan was the person who did it, and she made sure that nobody could use that connected to the Internet. It was originally designed to be used so that the results could be sent back to the office in a much speedier time.
There was a problem, and it was from hacking, and you had to be within a certain
distance. There
was
a concern of hacking,
and it came out, and this particular brand of equipment was one that I actually brought, I think, to your attention at that time.
But the Secretary of State stopped it.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yes. Yeah. But what I'm saying, Brandon, is her reason for being here is to ask that she can go out for bid for equipment and that we provide funding for it. I have no problem with providing funding for the new equipment, but I want to make sure that we don't have a priority for buying a certain brand of equipment, and then in 2 or 3 years we have problems with it.
I don't think I or anyone can guarantee that they're not going to be problems in the future. When we first bought the optical scan, to me, I still love this piece of equipment, the optical scan equipment. And if we had a piece of equipment that would work with it, on the touchscreen and they were still manufactured, I'd want to stay with it. Because the new optical scan machine is slower. When you stick the ballot through on the new optical machine, I don't care which company you go with, either one of them, it's taking a picture of the entire document. It takes like so many seconds to do that. At North Branson, which is my biggest polling place, I already have lines during presidential elections with people lined up waiting to put their ballots in. Now it's going to be delayed even longer because the new requirements from the EAC are that the entire picture of the ballot has to be taken. And so that slows down the equipment.
What's Greene County use for that? Do they have that machine too?
I don't know if Greene County has changed because Richard Strutkoff just retired.
Okay.
But I know Christian County has gone to the new equipment. Several counties have gone to Adkins' new equipment. I don't know of anybody who's gone to Elkins as of a couple of months ago. But they may have now.
I think the question is to the commission if we want to fund this. These new machines, I would say that we need to look at all the money options and have nothing. If we need new voting machines, it's a big priority that we get them, but we need to look at all the options that we have, and I don't want to give you a open hand this morning to go ahead and purchase this equipment.
I wasn't expecting that, Danny. I was just expecting to tell you of my concerns before we head into a presidential year, and that it's your pocketbook. I can't come up with the money. And I wish I could. But and all of us in the state that are looking at this problem have been asking for money. We've gone to the legislators and asked them to fund it, and they have never funded it. I don't see any reason why they're going to change. I mean, I think Jimmy can tell you how much trouble he has getting funding to pay for prisoners, and other departments can tell you how hard it is to get money from the state. I don't see us getting any money from the state to pay for a purchase of new equipment.
When do you have to have it? You said it has to be certified by December 23rd for the March election?
December 23rd is the final certification date. So right after that, within that week, we would be certifying to our vendor and ordering our ballots. But they can't switch and buy equipment and get it to us.
So when would we have to purchase it by?
I would say no later than September.
And as far as your earlier comments, I think you know that I was the one last year that fought for you to get the iPads. So I do take it serious. Heaven forbid I have some fun up here. But I'm the one that fought to make sure you got the iPads that you needed. We didn't get all of them. We got some of them.
Yes, we did. Thank you.
Okay.
And I purchased the remainder out of the 400
account. I know you did. But don't accuse me of not taking it serious and not taking care of you guys, because I do my best.
Thank you, gentlemen, for listening.
Next on the agenda is direction to planning and zoning regarding the Community Development Block Grant. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
So what kind of direction are you going to give us?
No, we're supposed to give him direction.
Ah.
Go ahead, Bob.
Exactly. Essentially, we've met with the Missouri Department of Economic Development, and at this point, they're recommending that we utilize a different person for grant administration, and we were nearing completion of this community development block grant program for the flood buyout. And essentially, at this point, we just need to close this grant project out. But they've given us direction indicating that if I was to act as the grant administrator, that the commission would have to officially appoint me as the administrator for that grant.
My question to you is, can we have, without getting too much into what the state wants, have you as a dual administrator to take care of what needs to be taken care of? Because it's my opinion that we are to evaluate certain amounts of work, and if that would be something that we could do, then I think that keeps us in.
I think our main thing here is to direct him to do it formally. That way we can get reimbursed.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
So we just need a motion to direct. So I can go ahead. Is there anything else you want to discuss, or you want me to go ahead and?
No. The thing I wanted to do was to have not the elimination of the other.
Of the other end of, yeah. Yes. No. So move to have Bob actually assist in the administration of the flood buyout project.
I second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Bob.
No, thank you.
The assist, that way it covers.
Yeah, thank you for putting in the motion in that form.
Okay, we have the bid recommendations for aggregate rock and several after that, asphalt and materials, dump trucks.
Morning, gentlemen. Thank you. This first item on the agenda regarding bid recommendations is in response to bid number 2015-04-295 for aggregate rock. This was a bid that was requested by Road and Bridge that I released on April the 1st. It closed last week on April the 27th. Scheduled for opening on the 28th at 9:30 a.m. Mr. Hayes had requested this from Road and Bridge. He and I took the responses that we received last Tuesday and opened them in this room. There were four responses to the aggregate rock. As you may or may not know, this particular type of a bid, along with the next one to follow, is rather complicated, and as such, Mr. Hayes, with the support of his office manager, Kathy Roberts, has produced Excel spreadsheets to reflect the responses that we opened here last Tuesday. And in this scenario, for certain, I bow to him and to her to offer those responses in that format, allow him to discuss the details and move forward with his recommendation as such. Mr. Hayes.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Got a question for you before you go further. As we look and see, we have several vendors here. And did all of those vendors attend the, have they seen this sheet, is what I should say?
No, that sheet was just produced.
Just produced.
Right, okay. Since the opening. So some of them had called.
But were they there during the opening or had calls in?
Some were. Okay. Some have inquired, okay. And they understand that afterward they will receive all that information will be available to them online.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure everybody was notified and everybody gets the same fair treatment. So.
Yeah.
Actually, we had five companies submit bids to this, and in the spreadsheet here, the first column is the cost per ton as we pick it up at their plant or location. The next columns under each of those vendors are, I asked for delivered costs to all three main shops. That's just as a option if we that need arises, we get busy, we need a little extra material while each one of those plants can deliver to each of the shops. We occasionally use that, but not always. Most of the time we're picking it up at their quarry. Another thing you'll see on the spreadsheet, the most common materials that we use are the 3/8 clean chips, the 1-inch base, the 0-6, and the 2-6 material. Basically, all these costs are pretty much comparable across the board between the three quarries I have color-coded there. Not a whole lot of difference in cost, so. There is a little bit of difference depending on where the quarry is on the delivered to the shops, depending on, and they use mileage distance to determine that. We've awarded to all of these quarries at one time or another in the past several years, and I want to award to three different quarries, basically, but I would like to recommend awarding to Tabarrok Asphalt as our primary supplier on all the aggregate materials, and APAC as secondary, and American Rock as tertiary.
Do we want to because you got the picked up price, but the Jernigan, that's out of Springfield, right? That's where that one actually.
No, they're bidding that probably out. I know the asphalt's out of the Hollister South quarry, but that will be out of the Hollister South.
Okay.
But they basically didn't bid on all the products, just a few of the products that we use.
Well, they're higher on everything, too, aren't they?
Right. And then also Mansfield Lime, they also bid on all the, but I think one or two of the products, but their cost was quite a bit higher than, except for a couple items were kind of consistent. The rest of it was quite a bit higher.
There's two items, I'm just looking at them. There's two of them that are quite a bit higher. There's one, two that are the same, and one that's a little cheaper. Is that right?
Yes.
Would we want to make them as one as an option to go, as what did you call American?
The other thing with past experience is within the bid specs, we also want a consistency with material, so we have a specification in there that the product must meet.
I didn't know if you wanted to add them as an option too, to if we, if we're over there in that area. Isn't that pretty close to a couple of our areas?
Or no? They're actually doing business at 76 Quarry, so that's where the material will be coming out of.
Okay. Is that something we can give them?
This is the first time they bid in 2 years, so they didn't bid to us last year, and then I think the other year a lot of it was no bid or significantly higher. So.
Again, I don't know if we could add that as a if somebody's over there.
What you're saying is to take his recommendation, but to add them as a
as an option. Is that
fourth choice?
Yeah.
On something, there's certain things that are reasonable and unreasonable in a bid, and one of them would be asphalt, would be like the amount of time to get the asphalt to the job that would cause it to be in a cooling state, and
right.
If we had trucks backed up or if we had a malfunction, there's different ways to look at this.
That's actually going to
I'm just using example
because I didn't want to use this as an example. I want to say that there's certain things that you look at when you're trying to make a decision on these bids. There's certain things you have to look at that are above and beyond just the dollar.
Now, one other.
We know you did.
I would mention that in the past we have awarded to all the quarries based on location as to where we were working. And basically, if we were closer to that quarry, I mean, the guys would go get the material there.
I guess that's my question.
That we have awarded like that in the past. We didn't basically pick a primary, secondary, third choice. We just awarded to all quarries based on proximity to where we were working.
But we ran into a problem with
it. We run into a problem with consistency of material, material being either the base was too much fines, same thing with the 0-6. The materials was inconsistent amongst all the quarries. So. And we run into a problem mainly with the 3/8 chips, our primary product that we use on chip seal. We'd done that one year. We'd use one quarry if it was on the northern end of the county. When we got over to the more southern end, we'd go switch quarries and go to another, and you've seen a big difference in the material we was using and run into a few problems there. Since that time, we tightened up the specifications on the material, and that's where we started running into we either get a no bid or a real high dollar amount on that because that one product is more expensive for them to make. So.
Well, it's also we gave them estimates of, they placed their bids upon estimates that we gave them, right?
Yeah, we basically put estimated quantities. Some of them are a little higher than we. I need to readjust those, but it's also in there that they're not holding us to them estimated quantities if something changes throughout the year. So,
boilerplate.
I'm not going to name any companies off, but I want to give you an example of what he's talking about. A couple of different occasions. Me as a county commissioner have had to go to a location where they were doing chip sealing and the material was so not up to
inferior.
Well, what I'm saying is there was oil in a chip seal running out from under the material. We had to a huge expense trying to contain a problem that existed in the material that we were getting. In another location, there was material put down, and without naming any company, there was so much dust and dirt in the stuff that it soaked all of the oil up, and the chips went off to the side of the road.
I know we've
so
had
there's all kinds of different
we've
things
had to,
we look at.
Because of inferior product, I know that. I guess my question is do we want to do three, or do we want to add a fourth as an option? And if not, that's fine. Danny, go ahead.
If we was going to add them in order, I would probably put the Leo Jernigan Company or the. We could put them in order that way, but I would want these first three kind of in that order, and then the other two companies following suit there if it worked out.
But they might not want that.
No,
they probably ain't.
They would, Brandon.
Okay. Move to award bid number 201504-295 to Table Rock Asphalt as primary, APAC as secondary, and American. Is it tertiary?
Yeah.
Quit using big words. Based on recommendation by Randy Hayes.
And I'll second that, taking Randy's recommendation.
You have to say tertiary.
Yeah, you got to pronounce that word.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen. The next item on the agenda is bid number 2015-04-296 for asphalt materials. And
I want to make a comment before you go any farther. I appreciate the layout that either Kathy or Randy or somebody has done on this. It's
Kathy. Kathy Robbins.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
You know,
yeah.
Awesome job.
Layout, Grand Bridge, and I've worked on these bids as you see. The same time frame exists with this particular bid. It's a similar product. We've separated these two items into two separate bids a couple of years ago, and we did so because we saw that a lot of vendors were responding to the asphalt, but they were not responding to the aggregate, so that's why we split them up. But the same time frame exists. This was released on April the 4th, closed on the 27th, opened on the 28th here in this room in public. Several of the vendors attended the opening. And we actually received 9 responses to the asphalt. And Mr. Hayes and his staff, Kathy Roberts and Bridget, has also done an awesome job on a spreadsheet for this product as well, and I'll let him take it over from here.
This particular bid covers several of the products that we use. It'll cover our road oil and emulsion oils used in our chip seal. It will cover our asphalt mixes, hot mix and cold mix. It also covers the concrete that we use throughout the county. And I would like to recommend awarding this by groups. Over on the left side, each main product there has a group number associated, and that's how they were filled out pretty much on the bid, line item by line item. The first, group 6.1, is our MC road oils, and that's what we'll primarily use during chip seal. And I filled out the recommendation sheet, comparison to all these color-coded recommendations here. But the first group is our MC road oils. The second group is an emulsion based oil, and we use a couple of products out of that. But primarily it's also a sealing oil, and it's also where we get our tack oil. And then I wanted to try as a experimentation a fly coat on one road possibly this year. We didn't get a chance last year. But that's where that product, and there's only one vendor that supplies or bid on that. The third group is our laid-in-place asphalt. If we want a company to come in, APAC, Jernigan, Tabor Rock type, that's where that group would fall in. That's a laid-in-place cost plus mileage, and their mileage sheets are included within the bid. Group 6.4, that's the mix if we pick it up at their plant on our trucks, and that's primarily the same mix they lay in place, but it's a mix that our guys will use for patching. Group number 5 is basically our cold mix, and that's the mix that we'll use throughout the year. We can dump that in a pile at each one of the shops, and it'll have a shelf life of 2 to 3 weeks laying there where you can't do that with hot mix. This product they can use for pothole patching or patching during, they'll even make a winter blend on this product here, and that's the difference in the oils you see over in the far right-hand box in yellow. You'll see a variation. Some companies will have 2 variations of that. The last group is the concrete supplied anywhere in Taney County, and within that, the price is included in that cost per yard, so as far as the mileage. Now I know that is with the one company. I'm not sure about our third choice, whether theirs is included, but they will state in the bid, or it'd be that cost per yard plus whatever mileage from their plant to the job, so. the group 6.1, I'm going to recommend Coastal Energy on our road oils and APAC secondary, and that's on the MC products, medium cure. Group 6.2, I want to recommend Coastal, and there was no other bid. That's on the emulsion brands. That's our TAC and Flycoat, and there's also sealant oils in that. Group 6.3, laid-in-place mixes. I want to recommend Table Rock as primary, Jernigan as secondary, and this Hutchins Construction will actually be working with, I believe, APAC on laying in place. I recommend them as third choice. The next group picked up at the plant hot mix. This is our patching material primary to use. Table Rock is primary, and Jernigan as secondary. APAC is tertiary. 6.5, this is our cold mix, and wanted to recommend Table Rock Asphalt as primary and Clever Stone as secondary. They are out of Nixon, Missouri. On the concrete products, I want to recommend Table Rock as primary, Conco as secondary, and American Concrete and Rock as tertiary.
If there was a fourth, what would you call that?
It's not in the boilerplate, so I don't know.
Do you guys want these in by groups, or can we just go ahead and do it all?
I have it recommended by group.
Within
that recommendation letter there. So
I'm asking Danny and Mike in the motion, do you want it in by group, or you may just go ahead and say list the whole thing? You want six different motions, or you just want to do it in one?
No, if you don't have any, but you want a question, let's just make the motion on his recommendation. Right. If you have a question on the one.
I don't, unless you want to. We can make the motion, you can have a discussion if you want. If you have, I don't. Some of them, I mean, there's a lot of no bids. For anybody that's not looking at the sheet, which is just us three, there's a lot of them that just, there were no bids, and that's why they're not listed throughout.
Right.
So I don't have any questions.
I don't either.
You went over them as it went down.
I got
kind of interrupted on the last couple, but everything else I agreed with on what you had. So just make it however you want to. I just make it on. Randy's the one that goes through this stuff and extensively.
I just didn't know if you wanted six separate motions or if you wanted just. How many times do you want to say aye? One time?
One time.
Move to approve award bid number 201504-296. Group 6.1 to Coastal Energy as primary and APAC as secondary. Group 6.2, Coastal Energy as primary. Group 6.3, Table Rock Asphalt as primary and Leo Jernigan Construction as secondary and Hutchins Construction Company as tertiary. Group 6.4, award Table Rock Asphalt as primary, Leo Jernigan Construction as secondary, and APAC as tertiary. Group 6.5, Table Rock Asphalt as primary, and Clever Stone as secondary. And Group 6.6, Table Rock Asphalt as primary, and Conco as secondary, and American as tertiary, based on recommendations by Randy Hayes.
And I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen. I'll notify all of the vendors regarding these last two bids. The next item that we have on the agenda is bid number 201504-297. This is for four-wheel drive dump trucks, as requested by the Road and Bridge Department. It was also released on April the 1st. closed on the 27th, opened in this room on the 28th. Mr. Hayes and I received packages from four different truck supply vendors for the four-wheel drive vehicle, and we opened those here. He took them for review, and at this point in time, I think he's delivering to you spreadsheets that were also created by his staff brilliantly to assist in his award recommendation and discussion, and I'll turn it over to Mr. Hayes at this point. Mr. Hayes.
Basically, I want to have a little discussion on this particular bid. We actually, these vehicles we put out for bid are replacing the four 550s that we currently have in service. We have five of those vehicles. We used a Peterbilt specification as far as the chassis on this, and this particular vehicle is more of a utility vehicle that we use on different jobs depending on what the supervisor or shop, or one of them use it in a lot of the patching and striping, another one use it on different variations of what they do in that particular shop, and they're very useful type rigs. The ones we currently have just weren't heavy enough to stand up and handle. We've had a lot of mechanical issues. So we basically have two bids here. The first one is a four-wheel drive version, and the second spreadsheet is a two-wheel drive version. And we were anticipating buying five vehicles, part of them maybe being four-wheel drive, part of them two-wheel drive. We've had four companies bid on the four-wheel drive version, and a few more companies bid on the two-wheel drive version.
And let me clarify that the two-wheel drive is in a separate bid, and that's the next one coming up after we're finished with this one. So, and we did get six responses on the two-wheel drive versus four on the four-wheel drive. Sorry.
And kind of both of these bids kind of go together. A lot of the same companies. We have seven major truck dealers that bid, and all of them responded, especially on the two-wheel drive bid. On the four-wheel drive, there was only four of them that bid on there. The chassis all come in at a reasonable estimated cost. The reason these come in at the cost they are is we're also putting flatbed dumps on these, which is a just a scissor hoist flatbed. The guys could use that bed in different variations. It won't have the size. It won't be a regular dump bed as per se hauling, you know, like gravel. We have the bigger vehicles and stuff for that. But a lot of them, like David, he'll use it in the striping. He needs to put barrels of paint on that. Some of them use it in different, if you're doing bridge work, you're loading other materials on there, and a lot of times it's more useful to have a vehicle for that. They'll have flatbeds on them. We also bid them complete with V-bed stainless spreaders and also a plow, and then the hydraulic system will work off an automatic transmission, which will be similar in operation to our bigger dump trucks. And that particular system is a little more expensive than a normal, just a PTO. This will be more like a live power, which works in the snowplow operation. The other thing we put in the specs that these vehicles have a locking rear end differential on them, which helps us more so in the snow and ice removal. But then in talking with a lot of the employees, they were the ones requesting that. We have some different areas throughout the county. They're very steep, very difficult to turn around. You basically are coming downhill and no place to turn around type situations where four-wheel drive is almost a must in their eyes, and they are a big hill. So that's the reason we had that specced out on this, which it's about $19,000 to $20,000 difference in cost between the two-wheel drive version and the four-wheel. Within the spreadsheet here, We also have in there the extra warranty to cover various things on these vehicles. One main thing that we've had issues on different trucks in the past is the cooling systems, be it radiator or other components, or the new emissions that all of these companies have to comply with that are very expensive if we have mechanical issues. So we ask for extended warranties, 5-year, 200,000, and so you see that cost with each vendor at the bottom of each category there. And on the four-wheel drive version, Springfield Freightliner is the low bid at $132,915 each per vehicle. Within the two-wheel drive version of this, Peterbilt of Springfield is actually low bidder on that by a very close margin. I think it's less than $200 difference between Peterbilt and also Freightliner of Springfield, which is two very close bids. Peterbilt was $116,442 and Freightliner being $116,618. In meeting and discussing these bids with the supervisors, and we only have a certain amount in the line item, this is going to exceed that, so but basically we do need to replace these vehicles at some point because they've been very costly as far as mechanical issues, and it's something that we can, I believe we can still handle well enough within the budget if we want to get five of these. The choice comes down to the supervisors. It all decided that the two-wheel drive version with the locking rear end would possibly meet their needs. I don't know that all my employees will agree with that in the sense that we do have some very hard places to get in and out of, and I've been in most of those places myself. And it's almost, you can chain these vehicles up and get in and out, but you can also get stuck. Even in the four-wheel drive, it's not a proven fact that you can go everywhere. You do slide off, and that's going to happen with any vehicle. But one thought I had was possibly looking at purchasing three of the two-wheel drive and two of the four-wheel drive. And the most common areas that we have, that's going to be the steeper terrain, is more so in the north and west part of the county. We're not so much in the rural where we have more graders to help out in that sense. So
was the reason you wanted to, in your note here,
in the
was it due to money or was it due to
part of it was due to money, but I'm thinking I'd rather spend a little extra and actually have something that might work out better for us or have an option to have. I mean,
so you're changing your mind off of this?
Okay.
That's fine. I'm
thinking about changing my mind, but I wanted to discuss and know that if we do that, that cost is...
It's $10,000 more a machine. So it's
wakes
not,
up right. In a different world every morning.
I'm not out there, four-wheel drive versus two-wheel drive. I mean, I've been out there with the guys at night doing it, but I'm not driving. I'm just sitting there.
Well, the other thing, I've had several employees that basically...
holding on pretty tight, some of those hills.
I've had the employees that normally using these 550 trucks, and that's where we send into some of these harder places because I can't get these tandem axles in there.
Are these smaller trucks?
These are smaller. These are the single axle chassis. If you look at the mechanics truck over at Buchanan, which is a Freightliner, it's basically that basic chassis, I believe, and I don't remember what model Freightliner...
M2.
Well, this last snow
it'll be that size truck with a flatbed.
Okay.
And
because this last snow we had, because of the 550s, I got a couple phone calls from people saying, hey, our area is not done as quickly as normal. And then, so I called, you know, you guys and was told we can't get machines in there because the machines we have that are running are too big for some of those areas. So these will take care of those areas.
Well, we had a couple of 550s went down at the worst time.
Right.
If they're going to break, they're going to break right then.
But I'm just saying, but these will replace those.
But
do we need
I'm
four-wheel
drive? What I'd like to do is at least have one of the four-wheel drives at the Buchanan shop, one at the Mount Branson, and then Hilda, just they can get by with just two-wheel drives. They got some tighter areas, but not such. Most of them don't have that steeper terrain that you get into around mountain area, Bear Creek, where you've got a lot of steeper country. They do have a couple, but we primarily got the room to use graders on them in the eastern part. So
you want to do two?
Two four-wheel drive.
I'm not going with that. Do you, Dan? Mike?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
And then three of the two-wheel drive. I don't know what cost that'll come out to. I can figure that up here in a little bit.
That's all right. Springfield Freightliner.
Springfield Freightliner is a low bidder on the four-wheel drive version, or they have the lowest cost.
Is that what you want to go with, or you want to go with something else?
I don't have a problem with that. We
take a formal recommendation.
When they write, just out of curiosity, on the bids, and I don't know if you'll be able to answer this or not. A lot of them have mileage, and some of them just have years. Some of them have years and mileage. If there's no mileage next to it, does that mean unlimited?
They're supposed to meet a 5-year, 200,000 warranty, extended warranty.
I understand that, but like most basic of truck warranty, it says 2 years. One says 1 year, 100,000. One just says 2 years. One says 1 year, unlimited.
Well, now up there in the base, that's under the basic. If you go down a little farther down in that, that's where they're covering the 5-year, 200,000 on the extended warranty.
With everything.
With everything. So
that's
your actual cost.
Transmissions, emissions, engine, that's everything.
All of that.
But that doesn't supersede their 5-year unlimited either, though. Right? Like the differential in Triveline, on one company says 5 years, 750,000. They'll still give us 750,000, not 500,000. They come standard.
Which one are you looking at?
I guess just an unbiased
right.
Like that. Number one, on the axles you bid, there isn't any 5 year 750, so ever bid that wrong because they'd have warranty available in that axle anyway. So it should be five. If our basic warranty says 2 years unlimited miles, and you're asking for 5 year 200,000 miles, so you're unlimited for the first 2 years.
Okay.
You get into years 3, 4, and 5.
Then it's up to 500,000.
That's where the mileage. You put 200,000 miles on the truck in the first 2 years. In your third year, if you're already at 200,000 miles, and you're really out of warranty at that point. Does that answer my question?
Yeah.
So, Randy, what you're recommending is the Freightliner on the.
On the four-wheel drive, the two four-wheel drive versions.
Okay. And there's only $200 difference in the bid and the Peterbilt.
Not, I don't believe
and
on
the
that
other
model.
Well,
that's a two-wheel drive. You're
that's what I'm talking about, though.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about we're getting the four-wheel drives. I'm going to make a motion for.
We got two separate bids here.
Yeah,
one
four-wheel
drive.
Right.
We'll do the first one, the first bid right now, which is the
four-wheel drive.
297. That's a four-wheel drive. Probably need to do this in two motions.
Right. I'm going to take your recommendation on it because you've talked to the boys that's driving them. You have the experience, you know, and you're recommending the Springfield Freightliner. On the four-wheel drive. That's my motion. To take Randy's recommendation of Springfield Freightliner.
On bid number 201504-297.
On the four-wheel drive, yeah.
Purchase of two dump trucks from Freightliner. Second.
Four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
We have a second.
I said
no. Oh, the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Okay, the next one, for the record, and we've already been discussing it at length on the two-wheel drive vehicle, the bid number on this one is 201504-298. for two-wheel drive dump truck, basically spec'd out pretty much the same, except two-wheel versus four-wheel.
On this particular bid, I'm going to recommend that we purchase three vehicles from Peterbilt of Springfield, as they are the low bidder. And this is by a slim margin on this particular bid, but they're a low bid at $116,442 each. That's with the extended warranty.
Brandon, this is where what you stated comes into play, I think.
I've said a lot. I don't know which one you're talking about.
When you're talking about the years and the mileage. And
well, yeah, question. Transmission on one company says 3 years unlimited. Another company says 4 years.
The particular transmission in all of these companies, they bid in Allison, and a lot of times Allison has their own warranty covering that transmission, am I right, on some of these? And a lot of them you can purchase an extended warranty beyond that, but most of them are covered, and I think they every one of them are using the same transmission, pretty much the same engine. All these companies, except maybe one, I think, is very different. A couple of variations, but.
Well, and I understand there's a 5-year 200,000, but what about if we go over the mileage on year four, or 250,000 miles on the transmission?
It would depend on Allison's transmission. I at least wanted to meet that 5-year 200,000. So they have to meet that, and it either will go beyond that or it will be run out at that time.
Let's say we're on year four, and then we're at 250,000 miles on the transmission. So the 5-year 200,000 doesn't do us any good, but the 4-year, is that an unlimited or is that a mileage-based? Because in the bid, it does not say. It just says 4 years. Does that make sense what I'm asking?
Yeah. I think we have one vendor here that I'd like to know of the same thing. Is that?
Well, both of the two closest bids on the particular transmission, 5-year, 200,000-mile coverage, on the transmission, one company is $875.
I'm not talking about the 500, the 5-year 200,000.
Okay.
Let's say we go over 200,000 miles by year four. Is there a mileage based on your guys' bid? Okay. It says 4 years. It doesn't say a mileage after that. Does that mean it's unlimited, or does that mean it's a? Is there?
If we have 4 years unlimited,
it doesn't say unlimited. It just says 4 years. So I'm asking you, what does that mean?
Okay, so this Brandon, so I understand on paper, where we bid it on the transmission, he asked for years and it says mileage limit. I bid none.
So it's unlimited mileage?
That is correct.
Okay.
So we go 4 years and it doesn't make any difference. We got 250 or 300,000 on it.
Or 750,000 miles.
Unlimited miles.
Unlimited miles.
On Allison transmission.
For 4 years.
For 4 years, yeah.
That's worth $176 to me.
That's what I was thinking, Brett. I wasn't trying to evaluate it all.
I'm curious as to where you're reading that, because I'm...
Right here. this, and then you have no mileage.
That's all in their base part, and then what I'm looking at is their extended portion.
I don't care about their extended, because the extended is up at... So is this a 5-year transmission unlimited? Or is it a 3-year unlimited?
That's personally extended out to 5 years, but it's unlimited miles, so it's still...
So they're both, is that right?
1 to 3 years.
Yeah, he indicated none on all categories.
Yeah,
starting mileage.
Don't they for 10 years?
If you look at
these, this is 3-year unlimited. You see what I'm saying?
3-year unlimited.
4-year unlimited.
Well, but Randy's saying for that extra $875, that's included in this. It's now 5-year unlimited. Or is it 5-year, 200,000?
5-year, 200,000. What's got wrote on there?
I can find out exactly. I know the warranties become confusing because there's different variations with all the vendors on. But they've all actually bid the same transmission, which we spec'd out. And Allison Automatic, and a certain series of that will work with the snowplow operation type transmission and works with the hydraulic system. That's the reason it took it so long to get the bid specs together and get them out there, was because of the specific transmission that will work what the guys need to do their job. Our previous model we were specing out wasn't going to work. So that particular transmission, all these guys bid that.
And I'm having a problem with it.
Now, to cover exactly what whichever vendor we choose, I can find out the details on a particular transmission.
Well, but that's the deciding factor between the two.
It is.
Is what the warranty really is.
All right.
I mean, we got $176 in the difference on the bid. We also have
one part
of that.
Well, I'm saying you replace one part in year number 4 versus year number 3 or 5 or whatever, it more than paid for itself. The difference. So,
I'm big on the warranties. I mean,
do you guys understand what?
Well,
Allison doesn't put a mileage limitation on their extended coverage. So if, you know, whether it's me or Peterbilt or International to bid the thing, if we all bid at 3,000, you know, you ask for 5-year, 200,000-mile warranty, I bid you 5-year warranty, unlimited miles, because that's what Allison offers. In the bid, if Peterbilt or whoever the other vendor is bid it wrong, you know, they bid at 5-year, 200,000 miles. I bid 5-year unlimited, so...
Well, I guess that's the thing. We don't know what they bid. It's not clear in this paperwork anyway.
Well, it is clear up here where it says, and
there's,
they know they've got item 4 on your deal. It says 3-year unlimited. When we drop down to the next bid, it's 4 years.
Well, but
that's unlimited. I mean,
that comes with the truck. From what Randy just pointed out, that comes with the truck. When you go down to that 5-year, 200,000-mile coverage. And then it says truck, chassis, engine, and transmission. That transmission then goes to a 5-year unlimited.
No.
It's,
it goes 5-year, 200,000.
That gentleman right there just said 5-year unlimited.
It is on his bid, but it's not on the bid above it. It says 5 years, 200,000.
Randy, how long would it take to clarify?
That's
a couple of phone calls.
From each vendor.
Well, I got one of the vendors sitting here. The other one, I have to make a phone call.
If you don't care, let's get... I want to know exactly how many miles.
It's down to those two.
It's down to those two.
You don't have to go any further than that, but you need to know exactly...
How many miles.
These are.
And years.
I understand what you're saying here on the... When you've got a year out to the side with no limitations on it. That's here where it's got 5 years, 200,000 over in one category, and it doesn't have anything on the exceptions whatsoever.
Right. So. Yeah, if you can find out between those two and give us definite, Randy, give us...
Right.
On transmission, what about everything else? Basic truck warranty will be a 5-year, 200,000.
Yes, you requested 5-year, 200,000 miles on truck chassis and all components. The engine is separate and the transmission separate. So, yes, I bid you 5 years unlimited miles.
On what components?
On the transmission.
Transmissions, unlimited.
Yes. Everything else is 5 years, 200,000.
I mean, that's the way I read it. That's on the total. The difference that we have from reading this is you have the transmission is 3 years unlimited, and on the other bid, it's 4 years unlimited. That's the basic difference in the two. And we have it's basically a $200 difference.
$176.
So,
can we take a recess, see if I can get a hold of them and clarify on that transmission on the other vendor?
I'd ask them that one direct question and no other conversation.
All right. And I can find out.
Yeah. It's going to make a difference on how I award the bid.
Take a 5-minute?
We'll take a 5-minute recess.
Okay. Thank you.